Thank you, Brother Gables. I'm going to try to use Brother Gunn and Brother Gables and just saying Jim or Brother Jim. We get so many Jims and Bobbies around sometimes, we don't know who we're talking about, do we? It's good to be here. Good to see each one of you. Some has come in since services started. I hadn't spoke to and running a little late ourselves, and we always like to greet each one and some new faces. I'm proud to see that I don't know personally, but I see some that goes back 30 years, Brother Jim Plus, at Heart of Fellowship. And it's really been a blessing to me, and I want to say to you as a church family and as pastors, we are appreciative of you hosting this service today. We do cast ourselves upon you in sympathy of prayer as we stand before you, especially with these other brethren preaching today and choosing the weakest of the weakest to try to preach. I do need your prayers. I invite your attention to Colossians chapter 4, and I'm going to look at one verse at this time. So, you know, back as you're looking, I'm going to say just a few words. And we will go then in the book of Thessalonians and try to conclude in the book of Acts. Trying to preach through 1 Thessalonians. I like when you're preaching, teaching, I like for God's word to speak to me, which it does any time, but I may really come home to you. And then I feel that if it's has been a help to me, I trust it will be a help to others. So we trust that to be for the glory of the Lord and for your benefit as we stand before you. The 17th verse of the 4th chapter of Colossians, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Now, as we notice, as knowing the Apostle Paul by the Holy Spirit, no doubt prisoner in Rome, writing this letter back to this church at Colossia, he has called several names, not only called their names, but has given instructions to for this epistle to be read, not only at Colossia, but Laodicea, and then from there on. I'm thankful in God's providence we still have this letter. And we rejoice in the things that this book tells us of that was sent first to Colossia and these other churches. Archippus was probably a common name among the Grecians in that area. Not too much that I could find on him, except Paul did reference to him as a fellow soldier in Philemon 1:2. And certainly he was used of the Lord. And we are told there that not only was a fellow soldier, but it was a church located in his home. And that's, we know this is where the Lord's churches was meeting. They didn't have public buildings as we do today. And no doubt we believe by this instruction that we are noticing that probably he was one of the ministers there at Colossae. And he also had other brethren that he worked with, labored with. And by this record that we have of him, that as this was being read, and no doubt he hadn't seen the copy as it was read probably the first time, but some of the last words that Paul had, his name was called. And it was to take heed to the ministry which you've received from the Lord to fulfill it. Now, There is temptations. Even we as ministers of the gospel to take heed as we should what God has given to us. And I guess this is what began to burden my heart, and I began to look at the scriptures that points out our responsibility as ministers of the gospel. Now, we have received it from the Lord, and that puts great emphasis upon the importance of it. James reminds us, "My brethren, be not many masters or teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation or judgment." So we want to, as we go through, and I guess as I have beginning to reach an older age, in age as well as in the ministry, I'm sure we all feel of my age, and even maybe a few here older than I, that we know that what we got to do, we got to do now. Time's running out on us, and we want to fulfill the ministry that the Lord's given us. So first we know that it's no stopping place. We must press on. No time to stop, no time to relax. If we got a ministry that we received from the Lord, now, it may be times we may not be able to go and do as we have in times past, but yet we want to do what we can. And keeping in mind the Lord's ministry that He's given us. It's not our own. And none of us chose this. I know it's for myself. I even prefer to listen today. But yet we want to do what the Lord would have us to do. Now, some thinks that maybe He served in a different office, maybe as a deacon at this church, but I in looking at it close, I believe He was one of the preachers there as He served at Colossia. And He's received the gift for it. He was called to it, and He ministered in it. And it was by the Lord Himself, and to whom He and I and every one of God's servants is accountable to, the Lord Himself. And He had a duty to fulfill. And I could make a list, and you could make a list, but one thing we do know that He was constantly was to preach the Word of God. Now that's, we know, and we could probably turn, and we have many times, you know, looked at the charge that Paul gave to Timothy. We use it in ordination services. We remind ourselves from time to time. But foremost of any part of our ministry is the proclamation of the Word of God. We got a duty, not what I think or what somebody else thinks, but we are to preach the Word of God. And then to be faithful in ministering the things that God's Word teaches us, like the ordinances that of the New Testament church that the Lord has given us. And then certainly defining the truths of God's Word. We, you know, some people just read the Scriptures and go on, but certainly we need a definition of what is truth and the teachings of the Word of God. And then detecting error. It's been error from, that's why many of these epistles was being written, because Satan has already come and invading the Lord's people, and error was coming in. And then our responsibility as a minister or a pastor is to visit, especially the sick, to help them, to comfort the feeble-minded, we are told in the Scriptures. And take heed even to things to ourselves and to the doctrine that we preach. So to fulfill the ministry that the Lord gives us is many, could be many, many things. to feed the whole flock of God with wholesome food. Give them a good diet of the Word of God. Not just something that might tickle them or satisfy them or something they can just go with, but something that will cause them to grow in grace and knowledge of the Word of God. And then to be wise and a faithful steward of the Lord. Oh, may we see it. So it appears that when ministers neglect in discharging their duty, we can see from this letter that was primarily wrote to the church first at Colossae, the faithful brethren in Christ, has the right or the power to admonish and exhort us preachers to perform that which we are to do, to make us responsible. You know, this is one thing that maybe the flesh don't like to happen, that we think that we can just do things on our own, but we're not only responsible to the Lord as our head, but yet to the Lord's church, that we may minister to them in the way that is pleasing to the Lord and not neglect our duty or not neglect the ministry that we are to be carrying out. So with those opening remarks, now I didn't look at the time. Brother Jim, would you nod your head at me when it gets closer to time for me to sit down? And because I certainly don't want to get on other one's time. There, if you have your Bibles open, let's turn back to 1 Thessalonians now and begin to look here at one that I think that we could be safe in as an example of our fulfilling the ministry which the Lord has given to us and that we have received. And that's none other than Paul himself. Now, I know Christ is our supreme example. I mean, we know that we are to be followers of him. He's commanded us to follow him. But also, we find here in 2 Thessalonians 3:7, where Paul reminds us, he said, "For yourself know how ye ought to follow us. And for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you." So we can be safe in seeing and matching the conduct and the things in which the Lord allowed the Apostle Paul to do and his conduct, that we can imitate him and still be safe and pleasing to the Lord. So as we follow the Lord, follow the teachings of God's Word, we see him say it in Philippians 3:17 through 19. He said, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them that walk so as you have us for an example." He said, "Now then, you just come on, follow us. Those that don't walk in the teachings that they've received, well, you mark them. You watch those. Don't be followers of those, but follow us. You got the example. For many walk, of whom I've told you oft, and tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Now, I know as he reminded the church there at Philippi that the conduct that he had would do to follow, but there are some we better not follow. There are some out here that is their purpose is not for the honor and glory of God. They are all self-centered. They want things that, and he said, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. And that's one, as the cross has been mentioned and glorying in the cross already, we certainly don't want to follow. We do not want to be connected up with ones that's enemies of the cross of Christ. We want to follow that honors the Lord and brings a praise to him. So now as we notice in 1 Thessalonians,
chapter 2, where the apostle began in this section of his letter. He said, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain." Now, talking about the ministry, then taking heed to the ministry that we have received, certainly we do not want to think about it being in vain. Now, the apostle was concerned about his preaching being in vain, or his labor in vain. And that's, we want to take heed of this ministry that we received of the Lord and fulfill it, that it would not be in vain, but it would be pleasing to the Lord, and the Lord would use it for His own purpose. The statement here of conduct of Paul and Silas when they first preached the gospel at Thessalonica, and of course, I'm trusting that you know the history. We can go back in Acts 16, 17, and get the complete history of this church and what all was going on, not only in Philippi and the persecutions there, but on to Thessalonica and on to Berea, and then on to Athens and back to Corinth. I mean, it's easy to follow from the scriptures of the historical locations and when these churches came into existence. But what we are looking at here, that the apostle began to point out that he had concern about that it was, he knew what he had planted and what was happening was not in vain. But he's going to talk more about things being in vain that he wanted to know about. Even though he had to leave, he was still concerned that his labor, that he and Silas and maybe Timothy as he came on later, was not in vain. So Paul's concern then should be our concern, that we would fulfill the ministry that the Lord has given us, that it would not be in vain, but it would be pleasing to the Lord. In the third chapter of this same book, we notice in the fifth verse, he said, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter has tempted you and our labor be in vain." Now, as he had to leave because of the persecutions, as we all know, but yet, during the time the Spirit moved on him to pen these words to send back to the church, that he wanted them to know that he was so concerned about their spiritual welfare, about how they was doing, and that the labor that he has bestowed there was not in vain. Now, he felt the same way with other churches, especially the church at Galatia. As he's been there and preached the gospel, and God saved the people, a New Testament church came into existence, and then here comes the enemy trying to tear down and put them back under the law. But we remember the writing there in Galatians, latter part of the second chapter, latter part of that second verse, where he says, "Lest by any means I should run or had run in vain." He said, "Now the things that I preach to you, the labor I bestowed to you, I don't want it to be in vain." And then in later on in the fourth chapter, he mentions there in Galatians 4:11. "I'm afraid of you, lest I bestowed upon you labor in vain." I mean, here preach grace only by God's sovereign grace, and here comes the enemy saying, "No, we got to have the law here." And he said, "Now, that my labor's in vain." And I guess this bothers most of us. If God moves us from one location, or what may bother the next generation, what may come in. But yet, what we want to be concerned about when we're gone, I mean, it's others' responsibility, but we that's living today, God that has enabled us to have the gospel to preach, the word of God to teach, and labor among any of the Lord's churches, that we would take heed of the ministry that we receive of the Lord, that we may fulfill it. And this is what we must leave today. behind. That he and Silas, then Paul and Silas, has been shamefully treated. We know this at Philippi, and much oppositions there in Thessalonica. And we can go on and see all of these circumstances. But notice as the things that took place. But even after that we have suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God, which with much contention. All right, now there was contention, reference to the difficult and the times and danger, and as Brother Gables mentioned to us, we are living in some terrible times for his spirituality and the things of God. But hey, it's lots of things going on in the first century too, and we know this. But we are so thankful that we've got the Word of God and the instructions from God's Word to help us today. I mean, it's that we have everything we need right here in this book. I'm thankful for that. He said, for our exhortation was not of deceit. All right, now that's one thing we want to begin to notice, that as they strive for to see people saved, converts, preaching the gospel, and saying here, he said, I want you to notice the manner in which you remember when we come into town, that it was no deceit in this. He said it was open, it was plain, that we wasn't trying to pull something on somebody. It's, you know, not like some of the modern day so-called evangelists, you know. Let's just get some moves and things. Paul said it was, you know that. You know we didn't come in that way. It wasn't of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. He said, you know where and how mild we was, how gentle we was to you. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. Oh, to think about being put in trust of the gospel. Now, brethren, that should weigh heavy on us to know that we have the gospel to preach. It's been entrusted to us that we might fulfill this ministry that the Lord has given us. For neither at any time use we flattering words. That's another thing. He said we wasn't trying to use words to persuade people. As you know, nor covetous, God is witness. He said, I call God to be my witness. You know it, and I'm reminding you of it, that we didn't use these kind of things. And I'm thankful that the true preaching of the gospel don't have to be flattering words, that it will be effectual with the aid and the power of the Holy Spirit as we proclaim the Word of God. So we can see many things here as he goes. And he said, nor of men sought we glory. We wasn't in this thing for self-glory. Neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as apostle of Christ. So he said, now we didn't come to you to try to be a burden to you. We wasn't trying to make you subject to us, or to in our selfishness or support of any way, as he could say here in the ninth verse on down, that where he labored night and day. Now I know that there's some of us that maybe had to labor or work to provide for our family as we preach the gospel, and I'm not a bit ashamed of that, at least. If the Lord won't me to pastor a small church, that's just all right. But we notice Paul here mentioning this. Even in the second letter he wrote, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 8 through 10, he said, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought and labored and travailed night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. He said, now, I don't want nobody to think that they owe me anything. I'm just to preach and fulfill the ministry which the Lord has given me. Not because we have not power. He said, it's not that that I don't have the power for this, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. And here he is, examples again. He said, I want to be the right kind of example. For even when we were with you, we commanded you if any would not work, neither shall he eat. He said, you know how I preach to you. But now also, Paul knew what the scriptures taught, and he in the Corinthian letter, he said, as he wrote to them in the ninth chapter, starting with the eighth verse, he says, say I these things as a man, or say not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of an ox that treadeth out corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he, in another, for your sake, or our sake, no doubt, as it is written, that he that plough shall plough in hope, he that treadeth in hope shall be partakers of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? So Paul wasn't altogether justifying himself for not being chargeable to him and receiving things from him, but he said, this is what the scriptures teach. This is some things, and if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? He said, it's all right. Nevertheless, we have not used this power. He said, I hadn't used it, but suffered all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. He said, if it's going to be a hindrance to the gospel, I just do what I got to do, that the word could be preached. He said, this is scripture. I mean, to reap, if I sow spiritual things, is it not right to reap carnal things? Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they that which wait at the altars are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel shall live of the gospel. So we have both teaching. Paul said, the only reason I didn't use it, I don't want to be no hindrance. If it means that for me to be free to preach my heart, and I'm thankful, and really to get right down to it, I hate to be where I couldn't be free to preach what God's Word teaches me. Now, I feel for some brother. I know some has got themselves in a shape that they have to listen to man instead of God. But I don't think I or them or anyone else can really take heed to the ministry and to fulfill it when we have to listen to what man might say. So may God bless churches to be to support as well as to be under subjection of the Word of God. Now, the Thessalonians themselves was witnesses of what a holy and pure life and the manner of life that Paul lived among them, even though he wasn't there for a long time, but how that he exhorted them to holy life and teaching them these things. Now then, just a few comparisons of other scriptures. First Timothy, when Paul was writing to Timothy, we know we have many charges, many things he said to him as his son in the Lord. The 14th verse of the 4th chapter kind of jumped out at me as he, in line of fulfilling the ministry, where he said, neglect not to give that is in thee, which was given thee of prophecy
and the laying on of hands of the presbytery. He said, don't forget where the Lord's brought you from. Don't neglect this that has been given to you. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save both self and they that hear thee. Now, we know he wasn't talking about saving salvation. But a minister, we as God's servants, we are to take heed to ourselves, as much as Paul told Timothy, of the doctrine, saving ourselves from the pollution of this world, from the errors, the heresies, false teachers, teachings and teachers, clean from all the blood of all men. I mean, preach it and teach it, but when we do this, he said, you're going to save yourself. You're going to save them that hear you also. And from all the blame of the ministry, which people might can bring. So we should always be in mind of the particular dangers and the temptations against that can come and be on guard against him. Of course, in addition to the temptations which that we are so common among all of us. I mean, certainly Satan will throw them out there. But we that preach the Word of God to fulfill this ministry, we are to continue to be particular, cautious about the things that may come our way to hinder the ministry of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:3, Paul told them again, said, give no offense in anything that the ministry be not to blame. Oh, not to blame. I don't know. Sometimes I feel I shouldn't, and I don't start giving personal testimonies too much when I'm trying to expound from God's Word. But I will share my heart just for a moment. When I knew God had laid his hand on me to preach, and I have, and the Lord did find me trying to serve him in the best capacity I know how. But I, several reasons I didn't think I could and still can't. But anyhow, but one thing that really bothered me, I didn't want to bring a reproach upon the ministry. I've seen so many start and fall and stumble and how Satan would use it. And I said then, and before you and God now, I'd rather die than bring a reproach upon the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord's given it to us. And we are to take heed. And we are exposed to so many things that can hinder the ministry. That can arise within us as preachers, as we know, even here, want to be praised or pride or worthiness and so many things that can come within us, because we realize that we still have a depraved nature and we still wrestle with this. But may we take the exhortation from the Word of God here to let us take heed of the ministry which the Lord, we've received of the Lord. Yes, the importance of the office is the reason why the Holy Spirit used Paul to write, to take heed to thyself. Take heed to yourself. Now, for the, I don't know, times I know it's getting by, but let's look at a text found back in Acts here as we try to conclude. Acts chapter 20, and I know you're familiar with this, when Paul sent for the elders of the church to come and meet with him, and as he and as these elders
met with him, and when they come to him, he began to tell them, so you know from in the 18th verse, from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I've been with you in all seasons. He said, now you know this. You know we've had some good seasons, some rough seasons, some things up, some down. But in this time, he said, we were serving the Lord with all humility of mind. That's another mark that we need in our ministry. And with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. These unbelieving Jews, he had to continue to deal with them regardless of where he went. But he reminded them how he, I said, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Now, isn't that a way to fulfill our ministry? Just preach it all. You know, some of us get hung up on some of these great doctrines, sometimes don't get around and preach responsibility as we should. But hey, it's all there. It's profitable to us, to them and to us. But have shown you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. It wasn't no just any time, but at all times, whether he was in homes or from home to home or had a public meeting. He kept back nothing. He would preach and declare to them the things they needed, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, this manifestation of God's grace that we owe repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And he certainly did this, and that's the necessity of today. As the Lord said, and as John the Baptist came along preaching, and then the Lord, except you repent, you're going to perish. And we know that these as inseparable graces walk by the Spirit of God, but yet they are to be proclaimed that this must be. And now, he said, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that should befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying, bonds and afflictions abide me. He said, I don't know exactly what I'm going to go through, but I said, we've got the witness of the Spirit that there's going to be some afflictions. But none of those things move me. Well, think about some of us, and maybe myself, I'd have to say, if we think it's going to be a problem, we try to dodge it, you know. But this man, he wants to fulfill the ministry that God's given him. I mean, he said, regardless of the afflictions, regardless of the things may come my way, even bonds, I'm ready to go. He said, neither count my life dear unto myself. Notice that I've got his goal, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Oh, think about that. Not only to see the witness of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but here he mentioned the good news not only about Christ and what he's accomplished, but of the grace of God. God's free grace. What God's grace has done and enabled us to do. That he said, I'm going to continue this ministry that I've received of the Lord. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I've gone, preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. This is the winding up, as he could tell them. He said, I don't know what's before. Pour forward. Now, this is some instructions these elders, as well as we elders today need. Wherefore, take you to record this day, I'm pure from the blood of all men. I mean, from all that he's seen, he preached to them and taught them the truth. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And of course, that would be a text we could study on for some time. But all to think about, take heed to ourselves. I mean, God has given us a ministry. And here we notice that all of this flock, all of the church is referred to many times as a flock or as sheep, and that the Holy Ghost now is in this thing. This is not man stuff. This is not something that man come up, but the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer, the responsibility that you are to feed the church of God, because Christ has purchased it with his own blood. And then he knows what was going to happen when he left. Maybe this is some thoughts that we had a moment ago, since we don't know. Paul said, after his departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among ye, not sparing sparing the flock. And he said, also your own selves, men shall rise, speaking perverted things to draw away disciples after them. He said, these are some times that could be tough times. Be ready for it, that you'd still fulfill the ministry. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Another, the humility of this servant. Oh, may it be in our hearts that we too could fulfill the ministry that the Lord has given us. I like this next verse. Oh, that's one that stands out, I can say to anybody, anytime, and it'd be appropriate. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. It's hard to stop. Let's go. He said, I've coveted no man's silver or gold or pearl. Again, his self-sacrifice for the ministry. Yea, yourself know that these hands has ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. And as I've shown you all things, how that so laboring ye are to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Oh, what a great example for us. 1 Timothy 1:12, where he said, I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Sometimes, you know, within the natural realm and the weakness of the flesh, we wonder in the beginning, and still the old flesh wonders, you know, Lord, what in the world I'm doing standing before people. But I'm thankful he counted us faithful, placed us into the ministry. 2 Timothy 4:5, another exhortation. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Go ahead and prove it. Continue on. Then in that great chapter of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, that resurrection chapter that we all have that blessed hope in. But after telling us all of those times when the Lord comes and the dead's going to come forth victors in the grave, have to give up all for the dead, and we rejoice in that so many times. But you remember how he concluded that? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And Father, we bow unworthy heads and say thank you
for your grace that's been ministered so greatly to us that we could just be a little part in thy kingdom work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.